Father, we thank you for your love toward us. We thank you for the greatness of your grace. We thank you for revealing yourself to us, for making yourself known. And we thank you for adopting us, for bringing us into relationship with you. We ask that your Spirit would guide us in the truth this hour, that we would grow to know you more, and that we would grow in our faith and grow in our love for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, we should be finishing this paragraph, Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. We started 2 weeks ago in the first three verses. We saw our former condition before we were saved. We were spiritually dead. We were enslaved to our sins. We walked in our sins. And we were by nature children of wrath, objects of God's wrath. We had no hope, and we were without God in the world. And then last week, we moved on to... we actually covered verses 4 through 7, but the next section is God's work in us. He made us alive together with Christ. He raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places. And then we see the purpose for God saving us in verses 7 through 10, so that he would show in the ages to come the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness toward us. And also in verse 10, we'll look at tonight that he has prepared us to do good works too. So I'll just read this passage again, starting with verse 1. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So when we speak about salvation, there's three aspects, three parts to it. There's justification, where we are saved from the penalty of sin. Once we come to faith in Christ, there is, at that point on, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The very moment we believe, we have been delivered from sin's penalty, the second death, the eternal lake of fire, which is the final punishment for sin. The second part is sanctification, where we are being saved from the power of sin. Every person who has been justified will be sanctified. These all three parts come together. It's a package deal. You don't just get one without another. So, saved from the power of sin means that we are able to say no to sin. We're able to walk in obedience to Christ now. Everyone who receives God's gracious gift of salvation is being transformed to the image of his Son. And the final aspect is glorification, which we look forward to in the future, where we will be saved from the presence of sin. We will have the complete removal of sin from us at that time. That will happen when we see Christ as He is. We shall all be changed. And as I said, everyone who's justified will be sanctified and glorified. These all are together. As we're living this life, we think of justification as being in the past, after we have come to Christ. That was a one-time thing that's happened for us now. Sanctification is the ongoing process where we are becoming more like Christ in the present, and then glorification is our future state that we look forward to. I left a little space under justification to bring up another little topic that we'll talk about more later. There's the Catholic view that justification comes from our faith plus our works. They say that we need to have faith and we need to do good works, and then we can be justified. And the Protestant view says that faith alone saves us. Our faith brings us into justification with God, and our faith also leads us into good works. They come together. And we'll talk more about works later on, but I just wanted to kind of fit that into this diagram. So verse 8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." Salvation is to be rescued, to be delivered from sin. There's a illustration that's been given of someone who has suffered a shipwreck, and they are rescued by another ship, and from that point they are saved once they're brought into the new ship, and that's happened, but they're still awaiting to step on dry land in the future. So they are saved, but they're still kind of in the waters, I guess. So from God's point of view, salvation is complete, even though we have a present and a future aspect as we live through it. My translation says that we have been saved, for by grace you have been saved through faith. That's kind of God's perspective, because we are still kind of being saved, and we still will be saved from our point of view, too. Yeah. But God's kind of outside of time, so He sees it all as completed. We are saved by grace. It says in verse 8, and verse 9 says, not as a result of works. That means that we are not saved by any work that we do.
Amen.
It's by God's grace. It's not a result of our weeping or sorrow over sin. It's not our own willing or our own efforts, but it's God's sovereign grace. God was under no obligation to save anyone. He will have mercy on whom He will have mercy, and He will have compassion on whom He will have compassion. Yes,
that Curtis. That would be on anybody that would believe. He made a way for all men to live. Anybody that believes in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, they have an opportunity to live.
Everyone who believes in Christ is saved. Right. Right. But it's not a result of our works. being saved by grace is the opposite of being saved by our works or merit, anything that we would earn. There's no goodness in us or no efforts we can make to that would require God to save us.
In other words, you can't be a goody good-shoes in order to get to heaven.
Right.
You won't be saved. You'll be the best person in the world. Go to church every Sunday. Won't get
it. Right, it's not dependent on
it's
our work. Curtis. Okay. So we are saved by grace through faith. Faith is not based on our attitudes or our feelings that would be subject to change or unstable, but faith is based on the reliable God. He is faithful. Faith is not just wishful thinking or accepting something as true without any evidence. Faith is not optimism or positive thinking. Faith is the, I forget how Hebrews writes it, it's the substance of things not seen, the evidence of things hoped for. So true faith is based in knowledge of the gospel, of God's grace, of our hopelessness and helplessness without Christ. And when we really know and receive this truth in our heart, our inward man, we receive the truth as the word of God, not as the word of men, and rest upon Christ's promises and rely upon Him and trust on Him alone for our salvation. That is faith. It's our reliance on Christ and not on ourselves. Because we're saved through faith, no man is saved against his will. Because no man believes what he doesn't believe. Faith involves reliance upon God, and it comes with good works, which we see in verse 10. The next phrase here in verse 8 that says, "And that, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." The word "that" could refer either to the salvation as a whole, or it could refer to faith specifically, or the exercise of our faith. There's quite a bit of disagreement between the two positions of different commentators.
Right.
They know a lot more about Greek than I do, and so they still are split anyways on whether it's talking about our salvation or our faith. But I think I can't say definitively what which Paul is referring to here in verse 8, but we can say that both are correct, because faith is salvation is not of yourselves, is the gift of God, because our salvation is by grace. It's by grace that we've been saved, so that is not of yourselves. If salvation were of ourselves, it'd be something that God had to do for us. It would no longer be of grace. If salvation were of ourselves, if we were justified by our own works, we would have something to boast about.
Right, we would be in a lot of trouble.
So it wouldn't be God's gift if it were of ourselves, and so it would no longer be grace, and it would be a debt that God would have owed to us. So to fall in line with the rest of this passage, we have to conclude that salvation is not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. So what about faith, or the exercise of our faith? Is that of ourselves, or is that the gift of God? So there's a view that grace is God's part and faith is our part. It is true that we have the responsibility of believing and we are active in believing. God doesn't do the believing for us. We do believe in God. So we are each responsible for that. But if this faith is of ourselves, there's the same problem as if salvation were of ourselves, that it would give us something to boast about. It would be something, some part of us that contributed to our salvation, and that would take away from the grace of God. No one can boast before God, because He is. Okay. There's nothing in ourselves that we can do apart from God that brings us to Him. So when God blesses us with salvation, He gives it to us freely. This faith and salvation He has given to us. Nothing that we can do, however great or small, can bring us to salvation. And if we think that there is, then we're still trusting ourselves and our own ability rather than Christ. The beginning and the continuation of our faith is dependent upon God.
Wow. You know what?
Curtis.
I read a verse that talks about what you're talking about. It says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but he that walketh wisely shall be accepted with the person.
Yep.
Wow.
So our salvation is a gracious gift of God. It's freely given to all who believe. With the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And
where did you get that? Romans 10 again?
Romans 10, yeah. Romans 10.
Whoever calls on the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
So we are saved not as a result of works, so that no one should boast. I think we missed a little part. Okay. I'm not sure what happened here. There. I need new eyes, I guess. Trying to switch pages early. Okay. Our works. We are not saved as a result of works, but we are saved for works. We'll see that in verse 10. So we are not saved of works, so that no one may boast. Salvation is God's work, and human achievement is completely ruled out, so there's no room for anyone to boast. We saw in verse 7 that our salvation was made so that in order in the ages to come, God would show the surpassing riches of His grace and kindness toward us. So if we did anything that made us deserve to be saved, anything that we did apart from God, it takes away from His grace. It's not a result of works. It's not a result of the works of the law, Paul writes in Romans 3. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in His sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. So works of the law do not save us.
You said that anybody does anything to be saved. If it's not, we can't do anything to be saved. They're not saved if they think that, because it's nothing that we can do. It's what He did for us.
Right.
When we kill Him.
Right.
That's why God gets the glory always. And if we think we're saved because of something we did, that's taking the glory away from Him.
Yeah.
Not good. So they're not saved.
Okay, yeah. So we have nothing to boast about in our salvation. Another passage that rules out works as a basis of our salvation is Matthew 7. Jesus says, "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" So God rejects every work of man as a basis for our salvation. Isaiah writes that all our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment. If we boasted, if we were proud of something we had done, it would imply that we earned something independent of God.
So then, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Curtis.
So then, those that will say, "Lord, Lord," are basic and we never knew them. Are they basically the ones that are self-righteous and not relying on Jesus' righteousness?
I would say that they're depending on their works to save them. They think that prophesying and casting out demons and performing miracles...
Is that self-righteous?
I suppose so, yeah.
Self-righteous? I see it.
Righteous in their own sight.
I see myself look what I did.
See, that's a sin right there, because the Bible tells us not to let the left of left.
That's why I say, if you do something good, something right, you don't have to boast to your brothers, "I did this, I did that," you know?
Yeah. No, that also, the Bible tells us to let another man praise you, not yourself.
Right. It also says we would say by grace.
Amen to that, brother. And we are all ready to say, "Thank you, Lord."
A lot of people do things that I have lost.
For what?
Oh, yeah, good thing I got like that. You do a relationship that good heart, a pure heart, that's the only reason you do it. I remember, not so much your head here and that, and all of this stuff, but before you did, you know?
Yeah.
Nobody needs to know what you did.
That's why it says don't let the left hand know, right, let the right hand do it.
So those who are saved do not rely on our works for our salvation. In fact, in Matthew 25, Jesus says, speaking of the, let me just start here. "He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these my brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. So the ones who are saved do not boast in their works. They ask, when did this even happen? When did we do these things? Because...
when did you do that?
To what?
To what?
Well, if they did that, if they asked that, when did we do this? Then...
and they didn't do it.
No, there's...
because they weren't counting on it for salvation, to save them. It was just something that came as a byproduct.
A byproduct of love.
Of being saved.
Of being saved. So then it would be like something natural that would happen.
Yeah.
Because of God's love that's shed abroad in us through the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. It's a natural thing. That love. Yeah. That's it. And that's it. Oh, but read down further.
Yeah.
Not good. Down there, man.
I'm reading it now, man.
So we have nothing to boast of, for we, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, what do you have that you did not receive? But if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? So our salvation is received. It is the gift of God. So we can't boast in it because it's not of us. It's something we've received from Him. God grants us humility and gratitude. Humility to confess our emptiness, our spiritual poverty, and gratitude that would cause us to attribute every blessing we receive is coming from Him.
That's how I get so great back from the jail. Find the church, so the guy with red lungs, the COPD, anyway, it's called. Yeah, the guy with the red lungs. Breaking the leaf, breaking the island out of Illinois. Right. Meanwhile, everybody knew, a lot of people knew, that they needed help. And that was joy. Shaving? It's him.
We are His workmanship. Verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
That's right. See?
So we are His workmanship. No one can who works can boast, for we ourselves are God's workmanship. Good works cannot help save us because we're His workmanship. He has created us. The power and the desire to perform good works are from God. They are the fruit or the evidence of God's grace working in us. Since we do not produce good works on our own, they don't entitle us to a reward from God. We are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. We are His creation. We are a new creation. He has made us and not we ourselves.
Ryan?
Yeah.
You said that not by works, leisure should not boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works. Okay? which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them.
Mm-hmm.
And I just say that he said that when we do those works, we don't get credit because they were, otherwise they're already supposed to be. We're already, God prepared us to do them. Did you say that? I heard right.
Yeah.
So, then on the other hand,
they're not our works.
They're not our works. They're the works that he's prepared for us to do. Okay, but on the other hand,
but we do them.
Yeah, we do them. And naturally, we just do them, you know, because of what the pastor was preaching yesterday about the power, you know, the obedience and the power that he's given us, which is the Holy Spirit, right, to overcome. Okay, to overcome our whatever.
He was also taught.
But if we don't do that, what happens?
I'll get to that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's all right.
He was also talking about hearing the voice, that still small voice. You know something? I went home last night, and as I laid in my bed, I heard that voice. And you know what it told me? He won't leave me. Like I said, no, it just said, he won't be. I heard that. Yeah.
I heard that. And he's not got to lose it.
Amen.
One of the translations says that we are his masterpiece here, instead of saying workmanship. One of the commentaries had kind of gone along with that idea too, that we're a display of God's grace, that God would show his glory through us. If the heavens are telling of the glory of God and the expanse is declaring the work of his hands, how much more should we, as his new creation, be displaying his grace? He has saved us so that he could show the exceeding riches of his grace.
Mm-hmm.
Now, works are expected. We are created for good works, that we should walk in them. So he would ask, what if we don't? I would say that if there's been no change in us after we come to believe, that we should maybe question whether we are saved or not, because that is one of the purposes for which God saved us.
Because I think it shows that. Even though I'm not the judgment, but it shows that because if we were saved, then we would come under the power and God that through Christ has all authority. And now we would receive that power. The Holy Spirit to do what? What is that power? What is that power that we receive then through the Holy Spirit?
Well,
it's a book for overcome what? Anything that hinders us from.
Yes.
Hinders us from not doing God's work.
It's more than that, brother. Listen to this. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover.
Some scriptures, sometimes. That is an amen. There was an electric scenery on the school. I did not have a full lecture book again. And there was like one guy sitting in front of me. I said, I can't do this. I put my hands back on and I truly believe that God showed the man to me that night. Exactly what I had to do. I went in there and I did it, and it went smooth and silver back. And I can't believe the fact that he's on a quote.
In Titus 2:14, he writes that Christ gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good works. So if we continue in our old life of sin, we should question whether we have truly been redeemed. He has redeemed us to make us a people zealous for good works. So good works do not save us, because we would have had to do some kind of good work before being saved. But the good works that are described here come after our salvation. Yeah, Curtis.
But if we get a chance to love somebody, to do something for somebody, that opportunity comes along. Is that not sharing God's grace and love with everybody?
Sure.
So in other words, for instance, I'll give you an example. Let's say somebody's walking up here to the church and you have their hands full. And they say, hey, can you give me a hand? Well, you lost your opportunity right there because you've seen them with their hands full and you could have said, hey, you need a hand?
But you don't have to knock, you don't have to give.
Well, you're doing it for the Lord, of course, man. Well, otherwise, you'd walk right by them and just come back inside and say, well, that's their problem.
Probably just the five people who think because they weren't out of order. So when you do it now, that's when you do it when you say it.
You do it because that love is in you. You know? You do it because you want to face the Lord. You want to. You know you want to share God's grace and love. You know? That's what we're supposed to do. You know? I just pray that I get bigger opportunities to do that. And I pray that I react on it. And if I know, I pray that something hurts me.
It will.
Because I don't know about everybody, man. Amen, man. That's what it's all about, man. That's John 15:12 right there, brother.
Okay. So, good works are the effect and not the cause of our salvation, they're the result. Salvation causes the good works. In the law, Leviticus 18:5, the law says, do this and live, but the gospel says, live and do this. So we have the life in God first, and then we do the good works. There is no justification without sanctification. God doesn't save you from the penalty of sin and then leave you under its power. So he changes us. He conforms us to the image of his Son. Again in Titus chapter 3, he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy. So that those who have believed God may be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men. So he has not saved us because of our deeds, but after being saved, we should be careful to engage in good deeds, to maintain good works. And now we have a new walk. These good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Our old walk was in our trespasses and sins in which we formerly walked.
The old walk was not in Christ. It was in the pit.
Yeah. And this is the second time we have the word walk in Ephesians. The first one was in verse 2. Our trespasses and sins we formerly walked according to the course of this world. So that was our former walk. Our new walk now is in good works, which God has prepared for us. Later on, we see chapter 4 that we're told to walk worthy of the calling with which we've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience. We are no longer to walk in the futility of our mind without understanding, excluded from the life of God because of ignorance and a hard heart. That's further in chapter 4. In chapter 5, he writes, to be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us. And then in chapter 5 later, we were formerly darkness, now we are light in the Lord, walk as children of light. And finally, we are to be careful how we walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of our time, because the days are evil. So there is a change in our course, the course of our lives. We have a new walk, no longer enslaved to our sins. So God has prepared the good works for us. He has prepared us for good works, as some would say, and at the same time we have the responsibility to walk in them, and it's his word that thoroughly equips us to do every good work. I found a quote by the preacher Charles Spurgeon. He said, Christ did not love you for your good works. They were not the cause of his beginning to love you. So he does not love you for your good works even now. They are not the cause of his continuing to love you. He loves you because he loves you. So all of our good works do not earn us any favor with God. They didn't earn our salvation. They don't earn special thing from him now. Our good works that we do show our love for God instead of earning his love for us. And,
you also got to figure, before you got saved, I'm going to use me as an example, before I got saved, I wouldn't make an effort to get up and go get someone something to drink. I'd be like, pay yourself, And now that we're saved, would you not get up and get someone to do a drink for you? Just because you don't really want it, and that it would be nice to do that. See the difference? It's a new walk. You know what I'm talking about?
We have a new mindset.
Exactly. And a change in the heart.
Mm-hmm. We're no longer focused on ourselves, our own desires, but now we are focused on God.
There's a good remedy to that too. Ask the Lord to rid you of yourself, that you need more of him and less of him, and have to be humble and depend upon anything. It's all about prayer. That's what the Bible tells us, to pray without ceasing. How can anybody become all these things if you're not going to pray and ask the Lord to help you to be humble, to help you not to be proud, to help you to love? You've got to pray. I believe there is prayer. It's prayer, man. And you've got to remember his promises. Philippians 1:6, that the good work he started in us will perform in the day of Jesus Christ. It tells us in Jeremiah 18:6, that God is the potter of the clay. So pray and ask, please, Daddy, keep making me. Have thine own way.
Okay. So we have nothing to boast of. It's all of God. He is the author and finisher of our faith. And it's not really about us. Although we do enjoy our salvation and we do participate in the good works which He has made for us to do. We have the responsibility, but it's His work at the same time. Next week we'll start. I'm not sure where I'll cut off yet, but the next part, yeah.
I got a question again, where it says to do the will of the Father, where in the Bible in Matthew, where it talks about, and those that do the will of the Father, you know, what basically is the will of the Father? Being obedient to His word?
Obedience and believing on His Son.
Exactly. So
when the Jews asked, what work do we do to work the works of God? He said, believe. On Him whom He sent.
So then that goes to show you that when we get saved, it's like what Aaron was telling us, that we're eligible to run a race. We have to keep running that race. And it's about obedience to God's word. A lot of people think that it's not obedience to them. How are you going to abide in the vine, which is Jesus? How are you going to abide in the vine if you don't do what Jesus said? He said, if you obey my commandments, you'll abide in my love. Obey his commandments, which is the Bible, God's word, and love one another.
What if fell along, but it's two things today. Command us.
Love the Lord thy God with all our soul and mind, and love everyone as He has loved us. That is.
That was it.
And what is that? What is loving the Lord thy God with all our soul and mind? It's obeying God's word. It's John 15:10 and John 15:12.
He says, if you love me, you will obey my commandments.
And that, when we obey God's word, the Holy Spirit, I believe, enhances the fruits of the Spirit in us. That's more and more and more and more until here it is, I love to be perfect, 1 John 4. It's a spiritual process. It's like a, how do you say?
Sanctification?
Yes. It's all about obeying that God's word, because we've already been saved, so we've got to obey. And it's not easy.
I don't know anybody who does.
Well, you'll know. You'll know someone who obeys God's word, because He said you'll know them by their fruits. You'll see that in them. You'll see the fruits of the Spirit totally enhance them. Because the more that we obey God's word, Romans 5:5 says that God's love is shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit which is given to us. That proves right there the Holy Spirit, which love is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22-23. It proves that the Holy Spirit produces them. And we abide in the fire, and we abide in Jesus, and we're abiding in His love. And abandon, I believe, that those fruits are enhanced more and more. And you will see that
in the other time.
There is none.
I know what we're not.
Love, joy, peace, patience, faith, kindness, gentleness, goodness, and self-control.
And the other side is I'm not the purple one.
My point being is this, when we're all saved, and we know it's about obeying God's word, so those fruits can be totally enhanced in us, just like what Mark 4:20 says. And these are those that were sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive the word, and they go on to produce 30, 60, 100 fruit. I'd rather be Mark 4:20 than Mark 4:19, I'll tell you that.
We have a lot of faith, but we still have a lot to read.
Yes, just like what Aaron was saying.
When did your salvation stop? So we have to deal with all these things, these genes, trying to make them.
I don't really think that we have to worry too much. I don't think we have to worry too much, and I'll tell you why. Because as long as we've asked Jesus in our heart and believe, and we keep running that race, and we never give up no matter what comes our way, what in the world? I mean, what does Jeremiah 17:7-8 tell us? Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters. That tells me that tree that's planted by the waters is going to have all that nourishment it needs because it's trusting in the Lord, brother. He's going to grow.
But that's why you have to worry something's planted.
Worry is a sin, according to what
Peter said. What is it something's planted? What is that?
Root is in faith.
Rooted.
Yes.
It's rooted. So it goes out, the roots go out. It's, you know, it's like, and then it goes on to say, but the living water, the nourishment, it always spirit.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So it's rooted out, and that's what plant is. So, like it says at the end of Matthew, and they go out and make disciples, we have things to do. Some of the works that God's prepared us to do. When we come into church every day and quote the scripture, and you know the whole Bible, and then sit home and do nothing, you know. Is that doing the works that God's prepared for you?
Well, I look at it this way. If you get an opportunity to witness to someone, right. Why not?
Absolutely. Yes. Very good. But some people don't.
That's why you have to wonder if you get that safe and not become uproot.
Yeah, right. Upward.
That's why Luke 12:8 tells us that you know, if you do go and you basically paraphrase in Luke 12:8 says that if you confess before men the Lord, that he will confess you before the angels of God. So that tells me, telling your testimony, be a witness, to telling people about Jesus, you know?
You can't lose your salvation, but you can do it well.
That's the best thing.
For whom I have to do that? Keep running the race and never give up and trust in the Lord.
Because they don't believe. They don't have faith.
That's why you got to pray that the Lord strengthens your faith.
Yeah.
And helps you to stand strong.
Doesn't he say that in Hebrews 3?
It goes all back to what I was telling you about. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. As our faith increases, so will our knowledge. And we'll start understanding a lot more that way our faith can endure whatever comes at us.
People who can't take everything.
Yeah.
For one reason or another. That's why you say it's
saying not the bit. And when you tell someone that's a challenge for politicians, you know, what do you tell them?
What?
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Or if you went or whatever, or in a car wreck, if the mother's going shopping and the father in there, and the kid's got to go to the ballpark and on the way home, the trail truck runs them over and kills them. What do you tell them? I mean, do you know what faith is? Believe in God, you know, in salvation. God loves me, look what he did to my family.
He gives us the grace, but we have to accept.
Exactly.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there are people who accept it and turn away.
And turn away. Well, I know a lot of them.
We'll see. It's like what the preacher said. As our faith increases, so will our knowledge. So if something tragic like that, we have the knowledge to know to keep being in faith. That God's in control. He knows what he wants is what's best. Even if it hurts. I mean, I go through storms. I know that his plan is good. And you know what? I'm looking at it now like this. The storms that I go through, I may not like them and they may hurt, but I'm glad I'm getting that spanking. Because I tell you why. Because God
loves those who, and he chastens those who he loveth. If I wasn't yet the spanking, I would be worried. You know what I mean? Why do you think in the Bible they jewel in tribulation?
It's not. It's not about that.
He's a God of love. But he, I just told you the Bible says that he chasteneth those whom he loveth. A good father, what will he do? He will discipline his child. A father that won't, he doesn't love him. I don't mean to offend anybody by quoting scriptures. I'm
not saying that. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. That's why we're doing the question.
I thank God for the ability to do all that. I give him the glory. That's another thing. Isaiah 42:8 tells us that God will share his glory with you. No one. He gets all in all that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Dad.
Amen.
Okay. That it?
No, it's all
yeah, we're having a conversation. This is awesome, man. You know, we're supposed to come together and share scripture. Yes. And that way, you know, if someone's speaking something that's not true, you're going to know it, because what does it say in Isaiah 8:20? It tells us, according to the law and according to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. I love my dad.
Keep your
faith. Yes, just like what Aaron was trying to teach us.
When you walk the path, you find your way back up.
Keep running the race and never give up, man, no matter what comes at you. Turn back, oh man, dude, I've read scripture about that.
That's worse than you.
If I talk about the dog that turns back to his vomit after he puked, you know? He goes back and eats his vomit. I pray that the Lord keeps making me, man.
Absolutely.
I drop to my knees and beg for mercy, and please, Lord, please keep pulling me forward. Help me. I'm begging of you. That's what I would do before I turn back. No way, Jose. No way. I'll let it be to my Jesus forever. Amen. Glory.
That's what I'm saying. You have to keep that up.
Yes. Wow, can you imagine that thing? Is someone turning back?
Maybe. I don't think they never run in the race to begin with.
No.
I agree. And I'm not judging that.
No, well, I think if someone turns back,
if they turn back,
it's someone that the devil completely overcame and got a hold of them and just totally messed up their way of thinking. But you also have a point there too. Because when I got saved, it was full. And it's been full. And when I even think of turning back, it makes me want to know, get away from me, get that thought out of there. You know where I'm coming from? So you've got a point in both ways there. You know?
I'm not seeing it.
That's why you got to pray for strength and faith, man. Faith is what keeps you going. If you don't pray, Lord, please strengthen my faith. Help me to stand strong in faith. I think humbleness has a lot to do with that. Because when you're humble, then you recognize that God is your God. He's sovereign and in control. Humbleness has a lot to do with that. That pride gets in the way. And then what is pride? Pride is fear. And when fear comes in, then what happens?
Pride is I can do it better than you. I'm not going to trust you.
That's why I didn't think it was
shuffle. Hey man, the Lord's still making me, dude. The Lord's still making me. I'll be honest with all you guys. Sometimes I do get a little afraid because of the storms I go in. But I pray. I pray and ask the Lord to help me be humble and to strengthen my faith and to be strong in faith and to keep making me. And that's all I can do is cry out to the one that I know that can help me. Because that's where my strength and my help comes from, brother.
He's telling you, you don't have to know that.
I mean, even the disciples had their faith blocked a lot of people.
Hey, then he's not waiting. Why do you call me Lord? Lord, it's not the Lord. But they're hanging around again. Hanging around for 3.5 years.
But he knew. That's right. But he knew where to call up to, didn't he? He needed that help. When Peter walked on that water to him, he was just kicked right at it. And all of a sudden, he seemed to storm around him. And he started to say, but what did he do? He said, Lord, help me, save me. He knew exactly where to call me, Jesus. So that's what I'm talking about. Cry out to death. You know? And keep crying, you know?
What do you say, boss?
Okay.
I learned something time for that. It was very advanced. That the Word of God is there for us to do, we can know better. Wow. I realized that. Because He's prepared for us to do that.
Okay, let's pray and we can be dismissed. Father, we thank you for your great love that you had for us. We thank you for giving us life when we were dead. We thank you for giving us a new course of our life that we are now able to do good works. We are now able not to sin. We thank you for saving us from our helpless condition we were in. And we thank you for the faith you've given us, that we are able to believe you and we are able to walk in reliance upon you. And we pray and ask that you would continue to work in us to will and to do for your good pleasure. Help us to walk in obedience, to do the works that you have prepared for us. In Christ's name, amen.